Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Sunday before the baptism of the Lord, which is the feast day that falls this coming Friday. So that's why we have a reference to John the Baptist in the Gospels this morning. So there's a lot, quite a few things that are sort of piled up on one day here. We need to sort through them a little bit to see what we can, what benefit we can derive from these commemorations, these feasts. And first of all, we'll talk about a little bit about the circumcision of the Lord, because the Lord took on flesh and dwelt among us. That cannot be emphasized enough. Those of you, some of you were here last night, and so you're going to hear me repeating myself. This is the only thing that gives dignity to the human race, is that we bear the image of God. And in fact, the fathers of the church say that man was created in the image of God because God already intended to become one of us. And it was that identity of image that was made it possible in the first place. In other words, this is God's plan from before the beginning of time. This is God's plan from before the creation of the world, to take on flesh, to unite himself in the most intimate way with his creation. And this is precisely what happens in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul says, in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. It's probably the most profound description of what happens in the incarnation. God himself lives among men. That's the incarnation. That's what we celebrate when we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the nativity of Christ. When we say Christ is born, that's what we mean. That's what we confess. That God himself has come down to live among us. And this feast day of the Lord's circumcision is simply an extension of that. We know that according to the law, the male children of Israel were circumcised 8 days after they were born. And so if we commemorate the birth of the Lord on the 25th of December, 8 days later we come back to church and it's the 1st of January. And so we commemorate on that day the circumcision of the Lord. But even that event, the Lord's circumcision, it's not just the chronological event. It's not just something you can look at and say, well, 8 days later, this is what happened. But it bears out that reality of the incarnation. The Lord literally, really, took on flesh. Because if he didn't, how could you circumcise him? The Lord is flesh, and he dwelt among us. And that is the radical message of Christianity. That is the gospel. And it requires from us a response. We can't simply listen to that and say, well, that's really interesting, and then go on with our lives. If we understand that, if we understand that the God who created the heavens and the earth from the beginning took on flesh and lived among us, and that he spoke to people, and that the things that he spoke are recorded in the Gospels, then we have to respond in some way. We can't just think that, oh, that's interesting, and go on with our lives. And the response, as it is characterized in the church, is what we would call repentance. Sometimes we think of repentance as sort of a one-time thing. You know, we do something bad, we commit some sin that we regret, that we wish we had not done, and that we hope to not repeat again. And then we say, God, forgive me for this sin. And then we kind of go on with life, as if it's all forgotten. But that's never the way that repentance is understood, even in the scriptures. We have the example of repentance here in St. Mark's Gospel, with John the Baptist coming and baptizing in the wilderness. And what did he preach? He preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. This is the beginning of the gospel. This is the beginning of the public proclamation of the kingdom of God. In the other Gospels, St. John's words, his precise words are given to us, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And in fact, it's the same words that the Lord himself uses when he comes out of the wilderness after fasting for 40 days and defeating the power of the wicked one. He comes out of the wilderness and he says the same words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in those cases, if you look at the word in Greek, repent, it's not repent and be done with it. It's repent continually. In other words, we could say maybe it's be repenting, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because that is precisely what it means that the Lord has become flesh. The kingdom of heaven is among us. the incarnation of the Word of God means that God himself dwells among us. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the response that you and I are called to is repentance. Repentance is not a negative thing. Repentance is not feeling guilty. Repentance is not even really being ashamed unless that shame provokes us to action. The reason I say that is because guilt is usually paralyzing. We have some kind of sin on our conscience that troubles us, and we feel guilty about it. Sometimes we can feel so guilty that we can't do anything. We become so guilty that we even repeat the same sin over and over again. Because we just lack the capacity, the ability to break out of that sort of destructive cycle. But repentance doesn't mean feel guilty. The Lord didn't say feel guilty for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He instructed us to act. That's what repentance is. It is a positive action. Because when we repent, we turn away from sin, we turn our back on sin, we turn our back on the destructive habits that have ruled our lives up to this point, and we turn towards God. And that is an everyday activity. That is why in the services of the church, we always pray that we end the remaining time of our life in peace and repentance. In other words, we assume in liturgy, we assume in Vespers, we assume in all the services of the church that the remainder of my life is going to be characterized by repentance. Not just one time, not just a few times, continuously. Because this is precisely what the Lord prescribed. If you want to participate in the coming kingdom of God, then be repenting. This is the activity of a Christian. This is what we are called to do. Why are we called to do that? Well, because it brings us into the kingdom of God. But because repenting liberates us from the rule of the powers of this world. And that is perhaps the most profound message of the nativity of the incarnation of the Word of God. Because we have to acknowledge that this world is under the powers of darkness. And we don't have to look somewhere else to see it. We can look into the depths of our own heart and we can find it. This power, this world is under the powers of darkness. And the incarnation of the Word of God, the eternal God becoming flesh, living among us, entering into the Jordan River and being baptized for our sake, wandering into the wilderness and fasting for 40 days for the purpose of defeating the power of the enemy. That whole tremendous action that takes place in the life of Jesus Christ is the foundation, is the establishment of a beachhead. It's the first force of an invading army. The Lord is taking his world back. He has not given it over to destruction. He has not given us over to destruction. He has not handed us over to our sins and let us destroy ourselves. But rather, he has come down among us. And he has summoned us to come back, to return to him, to glorify him, to live with him. Because this is what we were created for, to be little Christs, that is, little anointed ones, bearing the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to be bearers of God himself, to be participants in the life of God. And the pathway that the Lord has charted out for us to enter into that is through repentance. So since the least of all feast days that we have today is New Year's Day, maybe we can all make a resolution to apply to ourselves the commandments of the Scriptures and to live a life of repentance in the coming year, to strive to genuinely make an effort in our Christian lives, to not be simply lukewarm Christians, people who go through the motions, but rather to pray diligently, to pray with zeal, to strive to love God and to love those around us, and to live the life of repentance which has been prescribed for us, since we do truly want to enjoy eternal life with God in his heavenly kingdom. To him be our glory, honor, and worship unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shadow.